This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Borscht Club on ORFM, where we stir up vibrant stories, rich traditions, and the voices of the Ukrainian community. Grab a seat. It's time to dive into something truly special. Hello, everyone. I hope you are all doing well. First of all, I'd like to wish a happy Matariki to everyone who is celebrating. Here in New Zealand, Matariki marks the Maori New Year, a time to remember those who are no longer with us and to look ahead with hope. You know, celebrating New Year in winter has always felt much more natural to me. I grew up in Ukraine, where New Year has always been a winter celebration. There is something magical about it. It's cold outside. Nature seems to pause. Everything is covered in snow. We usually do have snow in winter in Ukraine. While inside, it's warm and cozy, surrounded by family and friends. So once again, happy Matariki! I hope you have had the chance to spend these days surrounded by comfort and good company. Now let's turn our attention back to Ukraine. On 15 July, Ukraine marks Ukrainian Statehood Day. It is a relatively new public holiday introduced in 2021, but it commemorates events that go back more than 1,000 years. And do you know why it is especially important to talk about it today? Because one of the key myths the Kremlin has spent decades promoting is that Ukraine is a young country with no real history of its own, and the Ukrainian statehood only began after the collapse of the Soviet Union. Ukrainian Statehood Day reminds us of something very different. Ukraine's traditions of statehood stretches back for more than 1,000 years. Modern independent Ukraine did not appear out of nowhere in 1991. It is the continuation of a long tradition of state building that has endured for centuries. Although the holiday itself is new, its purpose is to remind us that the history of the Ukrainian state did not begin with the Declaration of Independence in 1991. In reality, it reaches back more than a millennium. And this is where it's important not to confuse two different concepts, independence and statehood. Independence means a country's right to govern itself and make its own decisions. Ukraine restored that independence on 24 August 1991. Statehood, however, is a much broader concept. It refers to the continuous tradition of having your own political institutions, legal system, culture, and the right of a people to live in and govern their own state. That tradition began with Kievan Rus and has continued throughout Ukrainian history, even during periods when Ukraine did not have an independent state of its own. So, what exactly is Ukrainian statehood? Back in 1949, the Ukrainian writer, politician, and political thinker Volodymyr Vinnychenko described statehood as the combination of political, economic, and cultural institutions that unite a nation, support its development, and create the foundations for its future. In other words, statehood is much more than the state itself or its government. It encompasses the entire political, cultural, and social life of a nation. As Vinnychenko wrote, a nation without statehood is like a crippled collective organism. For every nation, its own state is the best guarantee of survival and development. That's why statehood is a much broader concept than simply the state. A state is the political structure that governs a country. Statehood is the foundation beneath it, the traditions, institutions, laws, culture, and shared identity that allow a state to exist and endure. The state itself is only one expression of that much deeper idea. There are several key elements that define statehood. First and foremost is a nation's right to independence and self-determination, the right to decide its own future without outside control. Another essential element is public authority. This exists at two levels. The first is national government, the institutions that run the country, including the head of state, parliament, the government, the courts, law enforcement agencies, and the armed forces. The second is local government, which allows cities, towns, and communities to manage their own affairs through elected councils and local authorities. Another defining feature of statehood is sovereignty. This means that a state has supreme authority within its own territory and acts independently in its relations with other countries. Statehood also depends on a functioning legal system, a body of laws that governs society and protects the rights of its citizens. And finally, an independent state needs to be recognized by the international community, allowing it to participate fully in global affairs and public diplomatic relations with other nations. Every independent country also has its own official symbols that represent its sovereignty and national identity. In Ukraine, these are the national flag, the coat of arms, and the national anthem, all of which are protected by the Constitution. But statehood is about much more than official symbols. It is also shaped by the things that give a nation its identity, its territory and internationally recognized borders, its history, its language, its traditions, and its shared cultural heritage. The Ukrainian language holds a particularly important place. It is much more than a means of communication. It is one of the strongest expressions of Ukrainian identity and a vital part of the country's statehood. Traditional clothing, folk music, national cuisine, cultural traditions, and the lives of remarkable historical figures all contribute to the story of Ukraine and help define who Ukrainians are as a nation. In modern Ukraine, another powerful symbol has emerged. The greeting «Слава Україні! Героям слава!» «Glory to Ukraine! Glory to heroes!» Originally adopted as an official military greeting, it has become a powerful expression of national unity and resilience used not only by the armed forces but by millions of Ukrainians around the world. Throughout its long history, Ukrainian statehood has taken different forms. These include Kievan Rus, the Kingdom of Galicia-Volhynia, the Cossack Hetmanate, the Ukrainian People's Republic, the West Ukrainian People's Republic, and finally, the restoration of Ukraine's independence in 1991. Each of these periods represents an important chapter in the long and often difficult story of Ukrainian statehood. The road to Ukrainian statehood has been long and often difficult. For centuries, Ukrainian lands lost their independence, came under foreign rule, and were divided between different empires. Yet the desire of the Ukrainian people to have their own state never disappeared. Historians generally identify several major stages in the development of Ukrainian statehood. Kievan Rus, the Kingdom of Galicia-Volhynia, the Cossack Hetmanate, the Ukrainian People's Republic, the Soviet period, and finally modern independent Ukraine. Each of these periods played an important role in shaping Ukraine's statehood and national identity. The earliest state formations on the territory of present-day Ukraine appeared as early as the middle of the first millennium BC in the northern Black Sea region. Over time, these lands became one of the important centers of European civilization. Most Ukrainian historians trace the origins of Ukrainian statehood to the 6th century AD. According to the medieval chronicles, the city of Kyiv was founded by three brothers, Kyi, Shek, and Khorif, together with their sister Libid. Kyiv later became a political center of the state that would become known as Kievan Rus. Between the 9th and 13th centuries, Kievan Rus was one of the largest and most influential states in Europe. It has a sophisticated system of government, diplomatic relations with other countries, its own legal code, a rich culture, and a strong Christian tradition. For many Ukrainians, this period marks the foundation of their country's statehood. The legacy of Kievan Rus remains a subject of historical debate. For centuries, Russian imperial and later Soviet historiography claimed Kievan Rus as the beginning of Russian statehood. In contrast, modern Ukrainian historians emphasize that the political, cultural, and geographical center of this medieval state was Kyiv, and that its legacy is an integral part of Ukraine's history. This view was also championed by the renowned Ukrainian historian Mykhailo Hrushevsky, who regarded Kievan Rus as the first major state in the development of Ukrainian statehood. In the 13th century, Kievan Rus declined as a result of internal conflicts between princes and the Mongol invasion. But Ukrainian statehood did not disappear. Its traditions continued on the Kingdom of Galicia-Volhynia, which became the new political and cultural center of the Ukrainian lands and preserved many of the institutions and traditions established in Kyiv. The Kingdom of Galicia-Volhynia preserved the traditions of government, diplomacy, and law after the fall of Kyiv. It maintained its strong diplomatic ties with other European kingdoms and played an important role in the political life of Central and Eastern Europe. In the second half of the 14th century, the Kingdom of Galicia-Volhynia came to an end, and Ukrainian lands gradually fell under the rule of Lithuania, Poland, and other neighboring states. Yet even during this period, the idea of Ukrainian statehood did not disappear. It remained alive in the hearts and minds of the people and would later inspire a new struggle for independence. Following the decline of the Kingdom of Galicia-Volhynia, most Ukrainian lands became part of the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth. It was a difficult period. Ukrainians experienced not only social and economic inequality, but also religious, linguistic, and cultural pressure. These conditions eventually led to a series of uprisings, culminating in the Khmelnytsky Uprising, also known as the Cossack Revolution. The war of 1648-1657 became one of the defining moments in Ukrainian history. Its goal was not only to free Ukrainian lands from Polish rule, but also to establish an independent Ukrainian state. It was during this period that the Cossack Hetmanate, the Ukrainian Cossack state, was founded. The new state was built on the foundations of the Zaporizhian siege, the self-governing Cossack stronghold that had developed its own military and political traditions. The Cossack Hetmanate established its own government, administration, courts, armed forces, and financial system. At its head was an elected hetman who governed the country together with the Cossack leadership. It was during this period that the idea of Ukrainian statehood truly began to take shape. It was no longer just about the desire for freedom. It became a vision of an independent state capable of governing itself and determining its own future. The Cossacks, the Ukrainian nobility, the Orthodox Church, and ordinary people all played an important role in developing this idea. Like any young state, however, the Hetmanate faced serious challenges. Many social issues remained unresolved, state institutions were still developing, and almost constant warfare placed enormous pressure on the country. At the same time, political rivalries among the Ukrainian leadership gradually weakened the state from within. In the mid-17th century, the Hetmanate entered into an alliance with the Tsardom of Muscovy. At first, Ukraine retained broad autonomy. It kept its own government, legal system, army, and the right to elect its hetman. Over time, however, Muscovy began systematically reducing the autonomy and bringing Ukrainian institutions under its control. Throughout the 18th century, Ukraine's self-government was gradually dismantled. The powers of the hetman were restricted, elected institutions were abolished, and in 1764, the office of hetman was eliminated altogether. In 1775, the Russian Empire destroyed the Zaporizhian siege, and in the years that followed, the remaining institutions of the Cossack state were abolished and imperial law was imposed across Ukrainian lands. Historians point to many reasons why Ukraine lost its statehood during this period. Pressure from powerful neighboring empires, internal political divisions, conflicts among the elite, and the growing strength of the Russian Empire. Yet the idea of an independent Ukrainian state did not disappear. It survived the imperial era and re-emerged more than a century later during the Ukrainian Revolution of the early 20th century. The next major chapter in Ukraine's struggle for statehood came during the years 1917 to 1921. Following the collapse of the Russian and Austro-Hungarian empires, Ukrainians were presented with a historic opportunity to establish an independent state once again. During this remarkable but turbulent period, several Ukrainian governments emerged. First came the Ukrainian People's Republic, established by the Central Rada, Central Parliament. It was followed by the Ukrainian state, led by Hetman Pavlo Skoropadsky. After his government fell, the Ukrainian People's Republic was restored under the Directorate. At the same time, in Western Ukraine, the West Ukrainian People's Republic was proclaimed. Although these governments differed in their political views and faced enormous challenges, they all shared the same goal – the creation of an independent Ukrainian state. Unfortunately, the goal proved impossible to secure at the time. Ukraine found itself caught in the middle of multiple wars, with its territory becoming a battlefield for competing armies and political forces. As the Bolsheviks advanced, most of Ukraine came under Soviet control. A Soviet government was established in Kharkiv, and what later became the Ukrainian Soviet Socialist Republic was created. While it formally appeared to be a separate republic, in reality the most important political decisions were made in Moscow. For decades, the Soviet authorities pursued policies of centralization and Russification. The Ukrainian language and culture were repeatedly restricted, and any movement advocating independence was harshly suppressed. Even so, Ukrainian national identity and the aspiration for self-determination endured. By the late 1980s, the Soviet Union was facing a deep political and economic crisis. Across many of the Soviet republics, democratic movements gained momentum, and calls for greater autonomy and independence grew stronger. On 16 July 1990, Ukraine's parliament adopted the Declaration of State Sovereignty of Ukraine, affirming the Ukrainian people's right to determine their own future. Just over a year later, on 24 August 1991, Parliament adopted the Act of Declaration of Independence of Ukraine. A few months later, on 1 of December, the Ukrainian people confirmed that decision in a nationwide referendum, with more than 90% voting in favor of independence. This marked the beginning of the modern independent Ukrainian state. But independence didn't mean that the work of building a state was complete. Ukraine still faced the enormous task of creating strong democratic institutions, adopting a new constitution, reforming its economy, strengthening local government, and establishing itself as a fully independent European nation. That is why Ukrainian statehood is much more than just another chapter in a history book. It represents more than 1,000 years of striving for the right to live in one's own country, speak one's own language, preserve one's own culture, and determine one's own future. This is also why Ukrainian Statehood Day should not be confused with Independence Day. Independence Day, celebrated on 24th of August, marks the restoration of Ukraine's independence in 1991. Statehood Day, on the other hand, reminds us that Ukraine's statehood did not begin in 1991. It is the continuation of a much older tradition that stretches back to Kievan Rus, continues through the Kingdom of Galicia-Volhynia, the Cossack Hetmanate, the Ukrainian People's Republic, and ultimately leads to the modern independent state we know today. This history is especially important because for centuries others have tried to rewrite it. One of the central narratives promoted first by the Russian Empire, later by the Soviet Union, and now by today's Russian regime has been the attempt to claim the legacy of Kievan Rus while denying Ukraine's own long tradition of statehood. That is why understanding Ukraine's history matters. Ukrainian statehood did not suddenly appear in 1991. It has deep historical roots that stretch back more than 1,000 years, and those roots remain an essential part of Ukraine's identity today. Statehood is about much more than a flag, a coat of arms, or a national anthem. Those are important symbols, but they are only the visible expression of something much deeper. Statehood means the rule of law, where the same laws apply equally to everyone. It means independent courts that protect people's rights and uphold justice. It means a parliament that makes the laws, a government that serves its people, and local councils that give communities a voice in shaping their own future. It also means armed forces that defend the country's independence, sovereignty, and territorial integrity. Today, Ukraine's soldiers remind us every day that statehood is not just a historical concept, it's something that must be protected. Statehood is also diplomacy, building partnerships, representing the country abroad, and defending its interests on the international stage. It is the Ukrainian language, the country's sole state language, which is not only a means of communication, but also one of the strongest expressions of Ukraine's identity, culture, and history. But perhaps the most important part of statehood is its people. A state cannot exist without citizens who are willing to build it, to protect it, and pass it on to future generations. People who obey the law, educate the next generation, volunteer, serve in the military, create businesses, preserve culture, and contribute to their communities every single day. Today, Ukrainians are defending not only their borders, but also their right to exist as a free and independent nation. This is why Ukrainian Statehood Day carries such profound meaning. It reminds us that the struggle for freedom did not begin in 2022 or in 1991. It has continued for centuries. And that is exactly what Ukrainians are showing the world today. Ukraine has always been a multicultural country. More than 100 ethnic communities live there today. Alongside ethnic Ukrainians, the country has long been home to Crimean Tatars, Jews, Poles, Hungarians, Romanians, Bulgarians, Greeks, Armenians, Moldovans, and many others. Each community has contributed its own language, traditions, and culture to their shared story of Ukraine. Throughout history, people from many different backgrounds settled in Ukraine and made it their home. That is why Ukraine has never been a mono-ethnic country. Its diversity has always been one of its strengths. Today, this is more visible than ever. People of different ethnic backgrounds, religions, and native languages are defending Ukraine. Some serve on the front line, others work in hospitals, volunteer organizations, businesses, schools, universities, or diplomatic missions. What unites them is not their ethnicity, but a shared belief that Ukraine is their home and that its freedom and independence are worth defending. This is what Ukrainian statehood means today. It belongs to everyone who helps build, protect, and strengthen the country. And perhaps that is the most important lesson of all. Statehood is not something that exists only in constitutions or government buildings. It lives through its people. The stronger their sense of responsibility, the stronger the country becomes. That is exactly what Ukrainians are demonstrating to the world today. So, on 15 July, as Ukraine marks Statehood Day, it is worth remembering that statehood is not just about the past. It is something that lives in the choices people make every day, in the language they speak, the values they protect, the institutions they build, and the responsibility they take for their country. Statehood is not given once and for all. It must be protected, strengthened, and passed on to the future generations. Thank you for listening today. If this episode has inspired you to learn more about Ukraine's history, I encourage you to do so. Understanding the past helps us better understand the present. If you listen to Borscht Club, you already know that Ukrainians across New Zealand have sent 11 humanitarian containers to Ukraine. These containers included medical aid, equipment, medicines, merino thermal clothing, hospital beds, wheelchairs, and many other essential supplies. Thank you everybody who helped, who donated, for your kindness and support. You made this shipment possible. It is a powerful reminder of what can be achieved when people come together to help those in need. Can we send the 12th container? Together, absolutely we can. People and organizations from all across New Zealand continue to donate items for Ukrainian affected by the war. The next container will leave from Invercargill, so if you have the strength, time, and willingness to help load the container, please get in touch. It is genuinely hard physical work, and any help makes a real difference. You can contact me, Olya Vyazenko, through the social media or get in touch with Ukrainian Association of New Zealand Southern Regions. We would be incredibly grateful for your support. And if you would like to support the shipping costs financially, please search for the Give a Little page. Help wounded Ukrainians to live their lives. Or you can support the official account of Ukrainian Association of New Zealand Southern Regions. Every dollar matters. The Ukrainian community in New Zealand may not be large, but it is incredibly active, creative, and deeply connected. Across the country, Ukrainians organize cultural events, exhibitions, concerts, workshops, film screenings, language classes, podcasts, and community gatherings that help preserve Ukrainian culture while also sharing it with New Zealand audiences. Communities in Auckland, Wellington, Christchurch, Nelson, Dunedin regularly come together not only to support Ukraine but also to create spaces where people can experience Ukrainian music, art, traditions, food, language, and storytelling. Since the beginning of the full-scale invasion, many New Zealanders have also become part of these communities through volunteering, attending events, and supporting humanitarian and cultural initiatives. Here in Dunedin, Ukrainians and supporters gather every Saturday at midday at the Octagon in support of Ukraine. The community also organizes cultural talks, art projects, fundraising events, film screenings, and public conversations about Ukrainian history and identity. For many Ukrainians living abroad, these projects are about much more than culture alone. They are a way to preserve identity, maintain connection with home, support one another, and ensure that Ukrainian voices continue to be heard even on the other side of the world. Take care of yourselves, and I will see you next time. Thank you for tuning in to Borscht Club on ORFM. Stay connected with us and listen to our episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and oar.org.nz. This is your host Оля Вязенко, wishing you joy and a delicious day ahead. До зустрічі! See you next time!
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.